You just talked a little bit longer. I wouldn't have had to got up here. That's good. I enjoy that. Folks, I do have an outline. It didn't get here in time to get to the book. We're not going to use it this morning. We're going to use another book, the Bible, the book of Ruth. We're going to divide it into 4 points. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. You might want to write that in your book. What a joy to be here. And what a real joy to see each one of you. It's always a great privilege to me to come to West Jefferson, to be invited to speak, and I have on numerous occasions, to be associated with the good work that's going on here, the good people that are here. It takes a lot of work to put together a lectureship, a lot of undercover work, that is, that people don't know a whole lot about. But it takes a lot of work, and I appreciate every effort that's been put forth. America needs to memorize the book of Ruth. Over the nearly 50 years, 45 years or so that I have preached, I've kind of left the book of Ruth to the ladies' classes and the ladies' days. And they've done an excellent job with it. We men need to learn from it also. When I went to preparing some material for the book of Ruth, I realized there's not a lot of material in print when you get out of the Bible on the book of Ruth. There ought to be a great amount of material. Real life is discovered when we study the book of Ruth and the woman Ruth. We have an inspired account of, no doubt, the greatest love story to ever be revealed in the book of Ruth. If you take the woman Ruth and deal with just the woman, you leave out life itself. What caused Ruth to become Ruth? The background is laid for our study this morning in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. And I want to encourage everyone to take your Bibles, open it to this great book, and the first few verses will set the stage for our study. It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. We get the picture? Famine, hunger, a desire to prepare better than was possible where the famine was. So a man, his wife, and two sons left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to the country of Moab. If we study a little bit about the country of Moab, you'll see wickedness in every direction. And so, from one land to another, often you see wickedness. America today is fastly becoming a wicked nation. If I was to get started on America, there's no telling where I'd end up. But we've about denied everything that is good and that is right. But going back to verse 2, the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi. and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. It didn't take long to state that, did it? Here is a woman now in a strange land with her husband dead. She was left and her two sons. They, her two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. And I'm going to tell you as I start this study, I don't believe I'll ever comprehend marriage under the law under which they lived to its fullest degree. I don't know of anyone that I've read after that comprehended it. But there's a lot of material that we may not understand, but in the setting of today's society, we can come closer to understanding right and wrong. But anyway, her two sons took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpha. The name of the other, Ruth. And the book bears her name. An inspired account from the divine God of heaven concerning Ruth. They dwelled there about 10 years. So you've got 10 years of Naomi's life and her two sons. Her husband died during that 10 years in a foreign land because of famine, faced daily with wickedness surrounding. We're faced even in our homeland with wickedness surrounding us. Even today, Mahlon and Chilion died. Get the setting? Three women whose husbands died within a 10-year period of time. The woman, Naomi, was left of her two sons and her husband. She arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard that in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And so the famine is eased up back over in Bethlehem, Judah. She wants to go back to her homeland. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, her two daughters-in-laws with her. They went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-laws, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Under the law of marriage, the words of Naomi here have to do with the idea of going back to your parents' home. Let them pick for you another husband. Both Orpha and Ruth, she desired to go back. You've dealt kindly with me, with my husband, and with my sons. But go back home. Naomi said, "Go, return each to his mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest." That carries with it the idea of starting over again with the choices that have been made in the family and in the lineage. "Each of you in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them. They lifted up their voice and wept. They said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." We're not going to stay in our homeland, going back to our families. We're going with Naomi. We're going with you. Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there not yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands?" That is, Naomi had no more sons. By the time a child could be born, a man child, and reach the age in which he could become a husband, they would have to wait and they would be too old. "Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and who also bear sons, or and should also, would you tarry for them till they were grown?" What a city. Look at our picture in chapter 1. Is it not real life? And how much do we really take for granted in our society today in what true love is all about? Look at this great picture. The setting is inspired of God. The lesson is we're to learn it. The things written aforetime are written for our learning. Society today has reached well over 50% in the divorce rate. We need some lessons. The world needs lessons. We need to be reminded of the greatness of inspiration and the right things to take place. After asking, would they stay long enough for another child to be grown? Naomi said, "For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Naomi was grieved the way life had turned out for her. Today, America and the entire world has turned away from the grieving process. And yet, families still grieve, and individuals still grieve. And so often, we have not the answer to soothe and to strengthen the process of grieving. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her little g gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." So Orpha left back into her family, back into her homeland, the wicked land. To my knowledge, we have no more record of Orpha in inspiration. The book of Ruth deals with Ruth, not with Orpha. She chose to go back. Choices in life are very valuable. How many of us have made every decision we've made right? We don't do it. Orpha's decision was, "I'll go back." First she said, "We'll go with a mother-in-law." Then she thought about it. And Naomi had tried to impress upon him, "You're leaving your homeland. You're going with me to my homeland." Ruth didn't go back. She went with Naomi. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee." One of the greatest passages of Scripture in the book of Ruth. That and a passage in chapter 3. that's very valuable. Ruth was known in the city where Naomi took her back, or took her as a virtuous woman. We'll get to that a little later. But in this, I would dare say that 50 to 75% of the weddings in our century have used this passage scripture. I know in almost every wedding that I have performed, I've used this passage of scripture. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. We need America needs that, don't we? The God of the Bible needs to be our God today, with the biggest capital G available. The little g gods are no gods. We need some big capital G, one God. Ruth says, thy God shall be my God. How much problem does religion make in marriage between husband and wife? I thought that it probably wouldn't make any difference. But after being married 50 years, I've learned that it makes a lot of difference. I dare say that many of the divorces of our land have really come about because husband and wife were not members of New Testament church, faithful, number one, to the capital G God of heaven. That'll pretty well stop all of it, won't it? Ruth went with Naomi and her God for the rest of her life into a strange country, and a decision that determined her eternal destination. Our decisions today determine our eternal destination. How many of you have an automobile that won't back up, that doesn't have reverse in it? Don't work good, does it? We always, when we have transmission problems in our cars and reverse goes out, find ourselves in a real tight place needing to back up. I've made a lot of decisions in life that I've had to back up from and go the other way. The time that it took for the developments in the book of Ruth to unfold, I could not help, while I was trying to prepare this lesson, but ask myself, I wonder if Orpha's life was one that she needed to back up again on. Get the instructions of a godly mother-in-law that would take care of her. Let's read some more of it. Where thou diest, will I die. In instructions for life. Every husband and wife ought to have that decision before the I do is said. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded, Ruth had a mind, didn't she? And a good mind. And she'd made up her mind. And she was steadfast in that decision. She made the decision, this is going to be it. And when Naomi saw that, she quit trying to encourage her to go back to her people. and her family. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" She said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." Some of the writers that have written on the book of Ruth have kind of questioned this particular statement. I have an idea we may not fully comprehend it, but I also have an idea it's inspired of God. How does God deal with people today? Had he dealt this way with Naomi by her husband dying, her two sons dying, by her being in a strange land when this happened? How often do we hear people blaming God for our tragedies today? You'll not find in the book of Ruth anywhere where God said it was tragic. You may find instructions of how for us to pick up where we are and go forward and go in the right direction. And we all need encouragement in getting in the right direction and doing the right things, making the right decisions. Verse 21, "I went out full." I thought when they left Bethlehem, Judah, there was a famine there. Hunger. Naomi said, "When we left it, I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty." One of the greatest lessons in the book of Ruth right here. There is more, much more to life than food, shelter, and clothing. She was hungry when she left Bethlehem, Judah. When she came back, she said, "I went out full," even though famine caused them to be desperate in the land. The family was what filled her. Family ties today in America can stand to be strengthened. "Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, the Almighty hath afflicted me?" The word Mara means bitter. She wanted the people to call her Mara because no doubt Naomi was fighting bitterness. We have that problem in our own lives, don't we? We have to fight it. And we have to fight it hard when tragic situations come upon us. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Set the stage. Is this not a real life order? True love in God's order does not take away the other sections of life. It all is involved in making a true love picture. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. By the way, this is point number two, chapter two. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, that is her mother-in-law, let me now go to the field, glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. Naomi said, go to her daughter-in-law. She went. She came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. We'll understand this better if we understand that the tribes in the land, the tribes of Judah, were divided with portions of land. And that portion of land stayed in that tribe. And they married in the tribe with the males. If an older one died, the next in line was to take that woman to be his wife. We don't comprehend that all the way today. But the order puts the land to the tribes and the marriage to the families all in that tribe. Not so much as to go, as long as one was available within the limits of the tribe and the kinfolks in that tribe. So, she went, she came, she gleaned in the field after the reapers. Her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, the kindred of Elimelech. That's Naomi's husband now. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. They answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto the servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who does she belong to? What's her lineage? The servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and continued even from the morning until now. She's tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and thou go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Pretty good instructions, isn't it? This young lady, working, gleaning for food in the field amongst other men, don't you touch her. Pretty good instructions. We need a lot of that sounded forth in America today. Amen. Loud and clear. Let's go a little further. When thou art athirst, go in unto the vessels, drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? How would I feel if I had been in Ruth's situation, coming from a strange land into a land where I knew no one, and trying to begin to provide? Sister Winchester and I have traveled far and wide, and when we left Murray, Kentucky, and that's a pretty good place to be from, several people are from Murray, Kentucky, we had intentions of going back to Murray. We knew the people there. We knew the land there. Went to Memphis, Tennessee, didn't know a soul. Entered the school of preaching the very first day of the first year of the school. Stayed there 2 years. Moved over to Waynesville, North Carolina. Didn't know a soul there. School was out in June. We had a U-Haul truck rented because we didn't have money to get somebody to move us. We had to do it ourselves. Come all the way down from Memphis to Knoxville, and Interstate 40 wasn't open, so we had to come down through Hot Springs into Asheville. Got over to Waynesville about 2 o'clock in the morning. Had to go to the police station to let them help us find the house that the church had rented for us that is supposed to be ready. You ever try to go into a strange location in the middle of the night when the house is supposed to be ready and you open the doors and the paint sheets are scattered all over the floors and the buckets, and you say, well, what have I gotten into? You know, a strange land. I've gone to a number of strange lands. And the only time we've been back to Murray, Kentucky since 1966 has been simply to visit or to be in a gospel meeting or to attend funerals of our family. So you get tested and you get tried. And Ruth had a pretty hard time right here. Strange land. Got to make a living some way. Got to buy some food or get a hold of some food. So she goes to gleaning. Why have I found grace in thy sight? Ruth had turned her attention to the capital G God. That's how she found grace in the sight of Boaz. She was doing right. And it was right for her to do right. And God will take care of us when we do right. We walk by faith and not by sight. How great a great study. If I don't get on into this book, we're not going to get on with it today. Be tomorrow. Somebody told me to hurry up and get this over with. They wanted some coffee. So you know how good the lesson's supposed to be. Unless the coffee's real good. Boaz answered, verse 11, said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, the land of thy nativity, art coming unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord, here it is, see, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. There's a good lesson there, isn't there? Right there. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed her field, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. That is, let her go anywhere in the field she wants to go. Let her glean or gather the barley off any of the sheaves that she wants. And not only that, but in verse 16, let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her. You fellas, take some of this barley off and let it fall for her. Make sure she's got it. You see, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto evening, beat out that which she'd gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That is, when it is clean, it is almost a bushel of barley. Some of you folks have worked in the farms in time past. That was a real day's work. Big day's work. She had worked hard. But she took it up. She went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after it was sufficed or cleaned. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou, or where did you work? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left thee off his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Ruth the Moabitess said, He said all unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Some of the most beautiful pictures that you'll ever see is to be able to picture in our mind a mother-in-law caring this dearly for her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law caring this dearly for her mother-in-law. We don't have near enough of that today. Chapter 3, then Naomi, her mother-in-law said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? Let me hunt you a man. Line you up for a husband. Here's what you do. Now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore. By the way, I want to, before we get into this study real good, I want to go over to verse 11 and look at it first. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Let's keep in mind as we study this, Ruth was a virtuous woman. Boaz knew she was a virtuous woman. There wasn't anything out of order or out of line at all in the inspired account in the book of Ruth of the woman Ruth. Naomi said, Wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. Get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he have done eating and drinking. That is, after he gets through working and cleaning up the barley and eats, he's going to be ready to sleep. Wait till he's finished. Wait till he lays himself down, and then go in. Not for sex. There's other things in line in the dating game first. We could learn it in America today. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet. Lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou should do. Boaz will give you some instructions. He'll instruct you as what to do. Naomi instructed her of where to go and to get the order of things. Boaz will give you now further instructions. Verse 5, she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down on the floor, did according to all her mother-in-law bade her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid down. It came to pass at midnight. The man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Might be a lesson there if we wanted to get into it. "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there's a kinsman nearer than I." You know, their life would have been at stake had they become involved in sexual relationship with a near kinsman than Boaz. We maybe can't comprehend all of that, but trouble would have been. "Tarry this night. It shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." She lay at his feet until the morning. She rose up before one could know another and said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." Also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty to thy mother-in-law.'" Then said she, "Set still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished this day." So he's going to take care of the matter. And he's going to not stop his work until it's finished. Chapter 4. And the time's almost up. We're going to hurriedly go through this. "Then went Boaz up to the gate, set him down there. Behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, 'Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here.' And he turned aside, sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit ye down here.' And they sat down. He said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I'm after thee.' And he said, 'I will redeem it.' Then said Boaz, 'What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance.' And this kinsman simply said, 'I cannot redeem it, lest I mar my own inheritance.'" Now in verse 7 it says, "This was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, Buy it for thee. So he drew off the shoe, and Boaz said unto the elders, Ye are witnesses this day that I bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Shalon's and Mahlon's at the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses." They said in verse 11, "We are witnesses." Verse 13 says, "So Boaz took Ruth, she was his wife, he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, or thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, and watch this, loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom.